Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
With the most important announcement on the docket today.
Oh, yes, of course. WWE has announced some news about their kickoff show.
Yes.
And it will be a two-hour-long...
two-hour pre-show.
That's half of the main... of the actual show.
On top of a four-hour WrestleMania...
And then, like, at least half an hour, maybe an hour post-show.
Yes, for a total of a six-hour event, more if you want to watch the post-show.
Right.
And to that I say...
So at least almost 7 hours.
And to that I say, this is a really, really good idea.
Okay, not what I was expecting, but...
I know, but I'm going to convince you. All right, here's the three reasons this is a really great idea.
Okay, I'm just saying, like, let me just throw this out there real quick, though. This two-hour pre-show is going to cut into the slideshow.
Let me tell you why this is a really good idea.
Okay, all right. All right.
Reason number one.
Okay.
WrestleMania is a time, is a moment... where more people are watching wrestling. We have friends who only watch WrestleMania.
Yes.
We also have friends who only watch WrestleMania and, you know, a dozen other shows throughout the year.
Right.
We have friends who watch WrestleMania and at least once a month. You know, we have friends of everything. Everybody watches WrestleMania.
Yes.
So as much as WrestleMania is a showcase of the Immortals, as much as WrestleMania is you got to bring in those part-timers to... appeal to people as much as WrestleMania is, you gotta have The Rock main event two WrestleManias in a row because he's The Rock. WrestleMania is still the time where you can get your product in front of the most eyes. Sami Zayn will not be on WrestleMania. Paige will not be on WrestleMania. Sami Zayn totally might get a pre-show WrestleMania match. As might Paige.
Okay.
As might any member of NXT.
Okay. That being said, it sounds like they're still only going to do one match. Yeah, on the pre-show.
Maybe.
From just reading their press release on it, it sounds like it sounded very singular as far as match activity. Because the first hour is going to be nothing but panel and talking about stuff.
Yeah.
And then they're like, alright, and then at 6 o'clock p.m. Or 6 p.m. Eastern, more panels and a match.
The other thing is the Andre the Giant Battle Royale.
Okay.
Which, you kind of stick that on the pre-show. If that's the one match, if they're doing one match and that's the one match, you make that Battle Royale...
Right, you can make that one last.
A 30-minute, a 45-minute or longer match.
Right.
You really make it a real, genuine event of a match.
Right. If that's the case, then, yeah, I can kind of see that.
It's very hard to, quote-unquote, justify calling this a bigger event than any of the Battle Royales that populate, you know, main event and SmackDown and happen with fair regularity.
Right.
You know, whatever. To make this one a long one. You know, a lot more...
dramatic,
close calls,
substance,
events, little miniature storylines. Throw in Sami Zayn. Like, you know, like,
yeah.
If not a match, yeah, you put them in that. You give people moments to shine in that match. There's room to do that. Not that there wasn't room to do that on your four-hour WrestleMania, but there's room to do that.
Okay.
But most importantly of all, we're probably not going to sit on a couch... and watch the pre-show for 2 hours.
No.
Like we'll be watching WrestleMania.
Right.
That's probably how most people will be. Nobody, I mean, some people might, but the majority of fans out there are not sitting on their couches. It is time to watch the pre-show for WrestleMania. However, probably most of them are going to have it on.
In the background.
While stuff's being cooked.
People are getting there. Everyone's kind of hanging
out. Stuff's
eating.
So they'll have it on. And they'll have that network on. And that giant mass of people all trying to get on the network at the same time, and it's going to glitch. That'll happen at the pre-show.
Okay, well, I mean, the surge is, there's going to be a much bigger surge at 7 o'clock than there will be at 5 or 6.
How much of a bigger surge do you think there will be?
I think a significant one.
The people who get the pre-show are the people who are paying.
I mean, okay.
It's just the network. It's people who are paying $9.99 a month for all this wrestling anyway. I think those people will be a very high percentage, a 70-80% or higher number will have the pre-show on. Watching it, I don't know, but we'll have it on.
Fine, maybe. But I think we're going to get that surge sometime in that 6 o'clock hour.
6 o'clock is fine.
Or it's sometime not, in that hour.
It's not 7. It's okay, not you know WrestleMania.
What I mean. You know what I mean, though. Like, at 6:45, people, we're going to see a surge then, probably.
I think the last number of people will come on, but I don't think it's... I think it's easily is going to build that number from 0 to however many it is.
Mm-hmm.
Slowly, over time.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's, you know... I think it's a great way, and if there is a glitch, I'm like, oh, I can't hear what Booker T feels about the match. Bomber! Right.
Yeah. Although I, because I'm sure there's a way to track exactly what people are watching. Like, or what number, what video is getting a certain number of views at what time.
Mm-hmm.
But I would be interested in knowing exactly who was watching, like, who had, like, who you know, opened up the network and who is watching the pre-show and who's watching other stuff.
Yeah.
I have a feeling some people will probably kill their time, their pre-WrestleMania time, with other stuff.
It's possible.
And yeah, of course, what is WWE care? They're still getting the money.
Yeah.
You know, fine. I don't know. I don't think the common wrestling fan really gives a crap about a two-hour pre-show. It's fine. It's one of those things where it's like, okay, if you don't give a crap about it, then don't watch it.
Yeah, but like, look at, you know, there's how many hours of pregame on the Super Bowl?
Right, and that's pretty much how you equate that, yeah, and people really don't care.
Sit down and watch that, but it's on in the background while the chips are being poured and the pizza's being ordered, etc.
Because from what I understand, like, as soon as noon hits and the Eastern time zone, as soon as noon hits, Super Bowl pre-show stuff start, and like the Super Bowl itself isn't until what, like 6?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, I think it builds a great natural buffer, which I'm going to care about. You know, my buffer for the surge at this point was America the Beautiful. And that's what I was stressed out about.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
they had the length of America the Beautiful. So I was like, they need somebody who embellishes that song to open up WrestleMania 30 because...
Right. Because that... There might be a lot of glitches in that time frame.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And that really kills that. And it's like, we have the slideshow, and I still fully plan to do the slideshow.
You better.
I have no, you know, and if it cuts into the pre-show, I don't think anybody's going to care.
Right.
Because I don't think that pre-show is going to be...
As long as we, you know, kind of start watching at some point around 6 so we can actually watch the match.
You want to get the match in? Yeah, sure.
But that 5 o'clock hour, just them talking, I don't give a crap because... I mean, I'll go ahead and just say this now. Post shows so far on Raw and SmackDown and whatnot have been just useless.
Yeah.
And it's, again, like, everyone saying, OMG, what did we just see?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Like, at that point, I've got all the wrestling out of my system. And I'm kind of okay with just shutting it off at that point.
Well, it's, you know...
It depends on the episode. And how it ends.
It depends on the episode. It depends on how it ends. You know, it will depend on who's on it. If Mick Foley is on the panel, warm my heart, Mick Foley.
Yeah. No. And Mick Foley does incredibly well on those panels. Keep Booker T far, far away from the panel on WrestleMania Sunday.
Yeah.
And that's it. You know, put on Wade Barrett. Wade Barrett and Titus O'Neil have been really good on those panels in the past.
Exactly. Now, they should be on the show, you know, with the 30-man Rumble.
There's no reason why...
You need... You know, theoretically, most of the active roster should be in a WrestleMania match at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But you have, you know, you have that, and then they wrestle in the pre-show. They have plenty of time to suit up and shower for the post. The
show stuff. Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. Anyway, so, you think this two-hour... pre-show is a good reason
I think it's a good idea. I think it was a good move on the part of WWE.
Just as a way to kind of taper off the amount of people who start watching.
Right.
Because you just want to avoid that everyone get on at the same time and clog everything
shut down
up.
The network, yeah.
Clog up those interweb tubes.
Exactly.
Because the internet is a tube. It's a series of tubes.
No, I'm aware.
Yes.
So, no, that's... I think it's a good... It extends the buffer time by 2 hours.
Okay.
So
more like they can build up to their expected traffic rather than just get it all dumped on them on one.
Exactly.
At once. One of those infamous dumps that Triple H keeps talking about.
Yes. But he's so smarty right now.
No, I'm not kidding. Like, okay, on Monday Night Raw, how many times did he tell Dana Bryan that, you know, at some point he dumped on him.
Yep.
And then told him that he had to dig through a pile of crap.
Yep.
Like right after that.
Yep. Phrasing Triple H.
Right, either phrasing or, you know, he did that on purpose.
I hope he did it on purpose.
Has to be on purpose.
Yeah.
It would have been funnier if they were in Cleveland.
Because of the Browns?
Well, that and the steamer.
Okay.
Sorry. I did an episode on Trashy Ring
Attire.
It's
like Chris just did an episode of Trashy Ring Attire.
I'm sorry. I got in the habit of dropping F-bombs, and now I can't get out of it. I'm sorry.
You gotta get classy.
I'm trying.
Class up.
So no more Cleveland Steamer references. Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
But yeah, no, I think it's... I have no problem with it. It's... What else was I gonna want? It's not like it's...
Right, yeah. And I mean, you know, for us, our WrestleMania schedule is we all wake up sometime around noon, because... It's the weekend, and it's, like, one of the few times I have off, so...
Yeah.
Suck it. Around noon or 1 or whatever, we'll do our laser tag thing, and we'll play, like, 2 rounds and come back, and then we'll just, you know, chill.
Yeah.
Not really doing a whole lot until people show up for the actual show.
I think most people have viewed WrestleMania as an event-like thing.
Yeah.
A day-long event, so...
Right. And that's pretty much how we've set it up. And so, like, there's that time where we're just kind of sitting around, not really doing anything. So, yeah, sure, we'll probably throw on the network or something or whatever they have on. Fine.
So, yeah, so that's my 2 cents. It was not what you were expecting, but...
Yeah, I was fully expecting you to come on, because you came over to my apartment and you're like, oh, I definitely have an opinion on this, but I'm going to wait for the show. It usually means Joel's out of crap all over something.
Nah, I like this.
But no, you...
Good job.
You put it over.
Yeah, no, I support the decision.
Okay.
So, all right.
Congratulations.
Next up on the docket, Raw this week.
Yes.
The biggest announcement is that if Triple H wins the Daniel Bryan match, Triple H will be in the triple threat match.
And that makes storyline sense.
Again, more than storyline sense, it adds to that match.
Yeah.
You know?
And it gives both guys something to fight for.
Yes.
Other than Triple H just not wanting Daniel Bryan in the main event.
Other than... Because all Triple H needs to do is just harm Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
You know? Sledgehammer to the kneecap.
Yeah. It gives him little incentive to actually win the match.
Exactly. Yeah. And the thing is that... And I know that Triple H knows about his internet reputation.
Absolutely.
He has said the word Barry. He has worked into enough promos. He knows what's up.
He acknowledged that the cops were fake.
Yes, he did. Okay. He acknowledged that the cops were fake.
Yeah, someone would be like, oh yeah, that's because it was all set up to get Dana Bryan.
But no.
We know the real reason why that
was
said
that. That was a wink right at me.
Yes. That was a wink through your internal soul.
And here's the thing. Like, the Triple H character. Plus, the Triple H that the smarkiest of internets believes Triple H to be, the buries everybody, will always put himself over, that kind of thing. And Triple H knows that and plays into that, and that's just real enough still. Like, it's in this weird, like, real Triple H is probably not that, but it's this weird, like, middle ground kayfabe.
Right.
Where, like, he can play into it and make people go like, ah!
Or kayfabe 2.0, as the internet's calling it.
Sure, whatever you want to call it. But it's just there, just enough where I can be like, oh, what if Triple H won?
Right.
What if Triple H beat Daniel Bryan and ended WrestleMania 30 as the champion? And I couldn't even be mad. I couldn't. Like, I know I'm supposed to be. I know I am.
Right.
It's like, I know I'm supposed to be.
He's like, oh, yeah. So Triple H just took all that, the stuff that he dumped on Daniel Bryan, and he dumped it on all of us.
But, like, you watch this, like, this arc of, like, the entire Triple H Thy Kingdom Come story of, like, Triple H playing the game, no pun intended, but, like, you know, doing the right things, sucking up to the right people, marrying the right daughters, getting to where he was, and between, like, Terra Rising and WrestleMania 30, working his way up to being... It's House of Cards with wrestling.
Yeah, but he's been the champion more than anyone else.
I know, but to end WrestleMania 30 by beating Daniel Bryan and then winning a triple threat with two of his previous, like, buddy underlings...
And
for the unified championship, that he orchestrated the unified championship happening earlier, that it was his idea to unify the two belts into one ultimate belt that he comes back to win.
So you're trying to say that Triple H is the WWE's Frank Underwood?
Yes.
Who is dead and out of the way? And whose security... security detail has... Stephanie, okay, I'm not gonna go there. Okay. But you guys know what I'm talking about.
It's not that they're dead and out of the way, it's that they're buried and out of the way.
Just had to wait for that old man to get older.
Yeah.
Just had to wait for him to get to that point where he's like, I need to pick a successor.
And that's the thing. Like, no, it'd be. Everybody would go crazy and boo and stock would play. But, like.
If he made it seem like his marriage and kids were all at work. Oh my god,
that's kayfabe 2.0 for
you. That is living the gimmick to the utmost.
Yes.
It's like, I don't even like these kids. I had them because I wanted to pull one all over all you guys. Yeah. Like,
oh man. So.
Okay, that would be impressive.
It would be impressive.
Okay. I don't think we're going to get reached that level.
Of course I don't think we're going
to
reach that
level. But if, like, storyline, he decided to go that route and be like, yeah, this is all the work. I don't even like Stephanie, you know, or whatever. And I had these kids just to convince you guys. If there was a storyline along those lines,
do they have kids in kayfabe? Have they mentioned their kids?
I believe so, yeah.
Like, they haven't mentioned them enough that if they need to, like, recon and, oh, we don't have kids... Because there's going to be, like, a divorce storyline or something. Right. Like, if they had a divorce storyline and never acknowledged the kids...
I mean,
the kids have never been important enough that I would have to, like...
Let's
I would
put it
feel
this way. They have referenced whenever Orton was married.
Mm-hmm.
They have referenced Orton's wife, like, a bunch of times. And how many different, like, quote-unquote wives did we see? Well, at least three different
That became, like, a running joke for a while, was because his actual wife didn't want to appear on TV.
Right.
So they had a new actress every time Orton needed a wife. Yes. For a storyline. But no, like, that's not gonna happen. But there's just enough there that it could happen. And that's all you need, because that's the streak. The streak's not gonna get broken. You just need to make me believe long enough that I suck in breath when you get a two count.
Right.
That's all you need.
Mm-hmm. And by and large, they're usually successful with that.
Exactly.
Most of the time.
Exactly.
I think it's funny how Triple H gets such a bad rep from, you know, the Smarks, the IWC, whether or not that exists or not, that's whatever. It's the dumbest debate. I just opened up the can of
worms. Look what you did.
And people are going to attack us on Twitter. But yeah, like, Triple H gets such a bad rep for burying people and, you know, ruining the quote-unquote product. And yet... Ask anyone what their favorite WWE show right now is, and they will almost all of them will say NXT, which is pretty much what what a show would look like if Triple H is given full power.
Exactly.
And I'm like, I just think it's ironic. Maybe it's not funny. Maybe it's ironic that they give him such a bad rap.
Let's play the song.
Don't you think?
It's like rain on a holiday. It's like hating Triple H, even though you like NXT. Yeah, it rhymes.
Rain on a holiday.
It rains on a wedding day. I'm sorry. Let me just go edit that out.
Free ride that you just can't take.
And who would have loved the Alanis Morissette?
It's fine. Who would have thought?
It figures.
Okay. But yeah, it's just I don't know. Like, I was just thinking about that, and it just I don't. I'm gonna settle with ironic.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough.
Yeah.
But no. So, like, I'm totally down with the 2-hour thing. I'm totally down with Triple H winning means he's in the triple threat match. So, like, WWE is 2 for 2 on this podcast.
So you're down with all that? So you don't have to suck it?
I need not suck it on account of me being down with all of that. All
right. I mean, yeah. I mean, honestly, if I had to pick between Batista, Orton, or Triple H being champion, I'd probably go Triple H, to be honest.
Yeah. Triple H and lean into it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Obvious, you know, clearly the one we all want is Daniel Bryan.
Yes, of course. And it's the kind of thing where, like, I don't know, it's not as much that it has to be. It needs to be Daniel Bryan because that's the payoff that we've all been waiting, that's what we want. But it's not like it had to be John Cena last year
right.
for that redemption story. Mm-hmm. Like, so I could watch, knowing who is going to win makes wrestling boring.
Yeah.
And that's not a blanket statement, that's not 100% true, or else I wouldn't own DVDs.
Right.
Because, you know, there's stuff that I want to watch again, there's, you know, matches that are good, and that's very possible to do. But watching wrestling live, when the story has become so abundantly clear that it is going through the motions to finish the story.
Right.
That's not what I want, because I don't suck in on the 2 count.
Right.
And when that happens, that's the moment that I watch wrestling for, is that intake of breath when there is a 2 count.
Right. That moment of just not knowing of what's going to happen after that 2 count.
Exactly.
Okay.
And it's hard to get, you know, and so that's the thing. And like, and when they get it, it's great.
It is, absolutely, and that's why, you know, we love WrestleMania season, because that's when stuff actually happens. But it's also when, you know, you see all these ridiculous things being put on the internet, rumors or whatever, and then they end up being right, and it's just like, you know, because. You know, when we first saw John Cena and Bray Wyatt, we're like, no,
that's not happening.
No, but now it's happening, and yeah, it's a lot better than what I was expecting. But you still would have kind of wished to have, you know, be surprised by it.
I wanted Bray Wyatt in the Shield again. Like,
right,
literally that exact match. If they just like came out at the opening of Raw, like Bray took his hat off, and he was like, you know, hello, I'm Husky Harris. And I portray the character of Bray Wyatt. And we just thought that was a great storyline and a great match. And we'd like to do it for you guys again. Puts the hat back on and they like started over the feud. And like, I'm down. Okay.
You do know Husky Harris isn't his actual name.
Right? I know, but if he said his real name, I don't think anybody would know what he was talking about.
Yeah. Wyndham Rotunda. No one really. Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
Like the one time it happened was when like CM Punk did something. This isn't CM Punk talking to Triple H. This is Phil Brooks talking to Paul Levesque.
Yeah.
And I was like,
yeah.
You gotta get one of those.
Well, that's why it doesn't really happen all that often. But I felt like in that moment, that was really well used in that. Like, it felt personal then.
That one didn't click for me.
It didn't?
Okay. And it's hard for Punk to miss a click for me. Right. It's like when they do the crossing of the arms.
Right, as soon as everyone noticed it that one time when it was legit, then they started using it for stuff that wasn't legit.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, now you're,
like, you get to use that fakely to make it look real one time.
Right.
And I'm down, and I'm like, oh, what happened? After that, you know, that's the kind of thing. Other stuff worth mentioning on Raw. Raw ended weird. Raw went very long.
Yes.
And was very close. Like, I don't know if it was going for uncomfortable.
It felt like we were watching a couple enjoy torture porn.
Yes. And, like, so that's the big thing. Like, I don't know. It wasn't bad. Like, it wasn't.
No. And, I mean, you know, it was one of those things where it makes sense because that's the kind of heel that Triple H has always been.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And
the big thing is like, was it supposed to feel that uncomfortable to watch?
Yeah, to me, I'm thinking it was. Especially whenever, you know, you have the announcers using their, you know, their quiet, serious voices.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when like, oh, this is going on too much, this is despicable, or whatever. Yeah, it's supposed to feel a little uncomfortable. Like, I'm pretty sure that's what they're going for with Brock just chair shot after chair shot on Big Show at Rumble.
Yeah.
You know, it serves a purpose. I think they do it a little bit too much mm-hmm. sometimes. But in this case, it worked.
Well, I was legit worried for Daniel Bryan.
Yeah. Because there's stuff like when there's parts where you're taking bumps and you're taking the bumps incorrectly because your hands are, you know.
Mick Foley, in his first book, it's in his first book that he writes about. Mm-hmm. It's in his second book, but he writes about the match with Rock, the mm-hmm. Acquit match,
yeah.
And it's like he couldn't take bumps the same way because he was handcuffed,
exactly.
And so, although there was a great unprotected chair headshot on Daniel Bryan, where the pole took the brute of it, and it just looked good.
It did, yeah.
I was like that was well done, well camera placement.
But ironically, that was the moment. That was like the moment where we really weren't worried because it's like, oh, he's fine.
Mm-hmm.
He's fine after that. But it was like other stuff that just you kind of winced at.
Well, speaking of problems, Goldust had.
Yeah, I don't know. When I was originally looking at that match, it looked like he had injured himself.
Yeah,
and that's what he was mad at the end. Now I'm seeing a lot of people saying, like, no, he got pissed because Fandango screwed up a couple spots that could have ended badly, had things progressed or whatever. Mm-hmm. I honestly don't know. No one said anything.
Nobody said anything, and like, almost nothing has come of it.
Yeah, and usually in those cases, you know, the professionals in the sport aren't going to say anything, so we'll never really know
exactly
what happened.
It's the kind of thing where, you know, I don't know whose fault it was.
Yeah.
And more importantly, I don't know if anybody's blaming anybody.
No, I'm not sure nobody is. Nobody is once cooler heads prevail. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, that's kind of how much of a pro Goldust is at this point. You know, and Fandango, he's one of those guys that whenever you listen to him as, you know, out of character or whatever, he sounds like he's just a wrestling fan.
Mm-hmm.
So he, you know, obviously would probably, if it was anything that he screwed up, I couldn't imagine him not, you know, taking the blame for it and owning it and, you know, just moving on.
Yeah. All right, well.
So, but yeah, there's that.
I hope nothing comes of that, honestly.
Yeah, very true. Like, I hope everyone's okay and hope, you know, they just keep going. Especially Goldust, because it would be nice to see him at Mania.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Preferably against Cody Rhodes, but I understand that's not going to happen. Fine. I accept that. There was a bit of non-news over the weekend. CM Punk was on Talking Dead.
Yeah.
And, you know, they called him Phil Brooks the entire time.
Yeah.
It would just feel weird because Chris Hardwick just... So, Phil, what do you think? And it was just weird. But, you know... nothing really came out of it wrestling wise, and that's kind of what I was expecting. I wasn't really expecting any news to be dropped or hints or anything like that. He went on a talking show to talk about, you know, one of his favorite shows, and that's exactly what he did.
I mean, I didn't watch it because I'm not caught up on Walking Dead. I don't want Talking Dead to ruin it for me.
Right, of course.
But yeah, it was technically his first appearance since walking out. Correct.
There's the UFC thing.
He was seen at UFC,
but this is the only time where he's actually like willingly on camera and talking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so, and like, it's a thing where like this might be as like an I'm sorry that I had to back out on At Midnight on you.
Well, yeah, and he had been guest on Talking Dead in the past, and that was kind of what, you know, what started his friendship with Hardwick.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that like they would schedule this anyway. Because he was on there with Yvette Nicole Brown, who was also on the show last time I was on, and they became friends because of that show as well. So it felt nice that all of them were back on the show together.
Yeah. I mean, there is a like a phone-in section or something, a live
question. Yeah, and I'm sure that they screened the crap out of those.
Yeah.
Just to make sure no one's asked anything about WrestleMania or WWE or whatever. Mm-hmm.
So,
it's one of those things where they're avoiding it at all costs where they can. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they couldn't at Chicago.
Right.
And that makes sense if that's the only time they've ever mentioned.
Right. They've, you know, they left Chicago and then mm-hmm. nothing.
No.
So, it looks like it's true.
Yeah. At this point, I'm thinking the very earliest that we'll see him is, the very earliest would probably be the Monday after WrestleMania.
Yeah.
At the earliest. And then, if not then, there is a pay-per-view in Chicago a few months after. I think it's Payback. I think Payback is in Chicago again for the second year in a row.
Oh, is that going to be a thing?
I don't know if it's going to be a thing, but it's from what I understood. Now, I could be working off wrong information. I could be wrong, whatever. I blame Jonah because that's what Jonah told me when I was recording Trash Ring Guitar last night.
So, all right.
I blame him.
Yeah, it's there. You could think that there's going to be a WrestleMania surprise return.
Yeah.
Honestly, as much as I love Punk, I can't, like, we've passed Chicago, mm-hmm. and I can't hold out.
Yeah.
It will taint the rest of WrestleMania.
Right.
And the rest of WrestleMania should be great. Like, you know, it's, right. it's building
you
up
you
better.
You shouldn't be sitting through WrestleMania, like, okay, any second now, Punk's going to come out, and then when he doesn't, then you're going to be like, well, that WrestleMania was crap.
Right.
When, in actuality, it might have been a pretty good WrestleMania. You just were looking through that lens.
Punk tinted goggles.
Punk tinted goggles. That's yeah. a hard thing to say.
Mm-hmm. So, and I mean, honestly, like, you know, past Chicago was like, and when they go back to Chicago, whenever that may be, there is going to be a little bit of, like, any second now. Right. Any second.
Kind of like how we were feeling at Raw in Chicago.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that might happen. But yeah, but right now, if Punk comes back, it will be a true surprise to me.
Right.
Between now and WrestleMania.
Agreed.
So, let's see, big things, coming out. Oh, I guess that we should mention, for those who have listened to Trashy Ring Attire.
Yeah.
Trashy Ring Attire apparently took issue.
Yes.
With some things
and
that were said.
I serving as the Class Ring Attire Ambassador, I addressed it and spoke on behalf of the show.
Yes.
Apparently they took issue with how we were responding to the crowd. It was before they made the stipulation, before they made the
it was before Occupy Raw.
Yes. Daniel Bryan kept, you know, saying to Triple H to give the people what they want. Give me Daniel Bryan versus Triple H at WrestleMania. And we're sitting at home saying, no, that's not what we want. And why are the people cheering for this? That's not what we want.
Now, you've spoken.
I spoke on your behalf, but I don't want to. I feel like I accurately portrayed yes. your thinking because I know you so well.
Yes.
But now, here's your chance to actually.
Now, we will, as part of the swappy ring attire experiment. Yes. We will be having an upcoming episode of Classy Ring Attire.
Next week,
that,
actually.
That is me and Blair.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we'll get into it then, I'm sure.
Right.
So I don't want to go into too much harumphing here and now.
Right.
Just to have the issue re-harumphed.
Yes.
Later on.
How many times are you going to say harumph?
I don't know, we'll find out.
Okay, fair enough.
But there is a tier of importance.
Okay.
And theoretically, the championship should be at top. Championship's not always at top.
Given special circumstances, yes.
And 9 times out of 10, I agree with the special circumstances that trump the tier. You know? The streak versus career match, second Absolutely. Shawn Michaels match.
Yeah.
I fully believe that. The Rock returns, I understand that.
Yeah.
Especially with, like, as much as I love Punk and the streak thing, I understand that.
Yeah.
There have been times where the belt has to close out the show, and then the title match got, you know, swallowed up by something in the middle of the card.
Right.
That's happened plenty of times.
Yeah.
John Cena versus John Laurinaitis does not trump the title.
Correct.
John Cena versus a lot of things in a row for a long time does not trump the title.
Big Show, Laurinaitis, Tensai, or whatever was going on
yeah.
there. That's
right. All that. There is argument and debate about if a Money in the Bank match should trump the title. Is getting a chance to have a title match more important than an actual title match?
Yeah.
However, the pay-per-view is named after Money in the Bank.
Right.
We could have this argument in circles for a long time.
It depends on the match, because usually it closes out with a Money in the Bank ladder match. Mm-hmm. But then again, Chicago 2011, you had the championship at the end of Money in the Bank.
Right.
So, again, it depends on the circumstance.
It always depends on the circumstance.
Yeah.
And, you know, the big thing is Rock and Punk closing out the Rumble and not the Rumble.
And that did kind of feel weird.
Yeah.
But I understand that because it was the end of a huge streak by Punk, and it's the return of the Rock.
And it's the return of the Rock. Right. Rock going after his first championship.
In a very long time.
Other problems about that match aside.
Right.
I understand
the placement.
Yes.
Okay.
A match with Triple H in and of itself is not bigger than a title shot.
At this point, yeah.
Yes. A match against The Undertaker is the only thing where the name of the opponent is comparable to a title shot, I think.
Right.
Match against The Rock, maybe, because it's The Rock.
Yeah.
And, you know, but a match against Triple H, that in of itself, is not. So, and in this situation, this feud aiming this way, Triple H was not the end game.
No.
Triple H was never the end game. Mm. The build-up was that Triple H was the end game for Punk.
Yeah. And then Punk realized, I don't want a Triple H, I want the championship, and I'm going to leave.
Right. Like that.
From what we understand.
Yeah, that didn't happen.
So that kind of furthers our point right there.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, you can be thrilled to have a Daniel Bryan versus Triple H match.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you can want that match. Yes, we as an entire crowd can be happy with that match.
And a lot of it had to do with the fact that it's what Daniel Bryan was saying out of his mouth. So there's no chance
if you want,
at all that people
we're
are
not
going to
boo Daniel Bryan.
He
yes.
says, yeah.
I guarantee you, had that been reversed, it was Daniel Bryan saying, this is the match that needs to happen. If it was Triple H saying, this is the match that needs to happen, nobody would have accepted that.
Right. Because of the mouth that it was coming out of.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, and again, it could be, and this is all hearsay now because he's got his match. It's still, there's still the championship.
Yeah.
Involved in it. It's all great.
Yeah.
Like, it just gets better. I love it.
Yeah.
So, but no.
Yes.
Nobody, the collective WWE universe did not sit there and go, Daniel Bryan should fight Triple H.
Right.
Because that is the way this storyline goes. That is this prestige level that Daniel Bryan is at. And that is the marker of his quality, is a match against Triple H. The championship was the goal.
Right.
The championship was the end game.
Okay.
And I stand by that.
Okay.
And I'm sure I'll talk to Blair about it a lot more.
Yeah.
Which is why, like, I don't need
and
to.
And you know, I never, like, whenever I and of course that podcast is going to come out, so everyone can hear for themselves exactly what I said. But I never once, you know, kind of backed off. It's like, oh no, Joel didn't mean this, or I didn't mean this, whatever. I stood firm that that's exactly what you thought. I just kind of smoothed it over a little bit.
All right.
Because it's what I do. I'm all about damage control.
Why do I have to be the one that damages to damage control?
I don't know.
I am not the one to make inflammatory remarks.
I don't know.
All right.
I am the booker in this whole situation, so I kind of have to smooth things over with a lot of people.
All right. A lot?
Okay, some. Fine. We're not that popular that we have a lot of guests lining up. Fine, whatever.
Have I offended any of
our guests? Way to bury your own show.
No. Have I offended so many people that you constantly have to say Joel didn't mean it behind my back?
No.
Because I'll defend my points some more and not back off.
No, because I'm... Okay. I'm also throwing in all the times that I've basically had to explain myself for something I said on Rager or something like that, where someone took something a certain way, and I just had to smooth it out, still sticking to what I said, but saying, hey, in a very nice way, saying, hey, you're an idiot and you didn't understand a word I just said.
All right, fair enough.
I'm not calling the Trash Ring Attire Boys an idiot.
No, no.
I'm just saying, let us explain.
Yes.
Now, people that read them at Rager, they're probably idiots.
All right. Anything else on Raw worthy of note? John Cena's scared of Wyatt's. It didn't really click with me.
Really? Really? Because this promo clicked with me a lot more than
It was better than singing Margaritaville, but if that's the hurdle we're going to jump over, we don't got
to it was another thing where, like, Bray just completely just wiped the floor with everybody.
Well, I don't know what to do there. Like, honestly, it's not like I'm seeing something that Cena should be doing that he's not.
Yeah.
Like, he is theoretically treating Bray like a serious threat.
Yeah.
The weird, like, legacy rap, almost like a parody of John Cena's early rap career kind of thing that Bray did.
What are you talking about?
Like, Bray had, like, a music video.
That was Eminem.
But it was Bray Wyatt. Like, there was Bray Wyatt video footage.
I guess? I don't know what you're talking about. Talking about the video package.
Yeah, yeah. With the Eminem song.
Yes.
But it was about Legacy.
Yeah.
And it was a Bray Wyatt. I assumed it was a little bit of a parody of John Cena's quote-unquote Legacy.
No, I just viewed it as, you know, the video package for this feud.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe. It might be.
And I thought it was incredibly well done.
I did think it was incredibly well done. Oh, yeah. Wait a minute. Let's talk about the Undertaker video package. That was great until the weird left turn came at the end.
Lord have mercy.
What happened there?
It was a great video package until the last 2 seconds when the lady who was narrating this whole thing just said, Lord have mercy. I was like, I get it. We're in Nollins.
Mm.
Fine.
Mm. Mm.
But so, you do not use, you know, you don't put stuff like that in the Undertaker package.
You have this Undertaker package that really it beautifully sold the streak.
Yes.
Like, there was footage from wins. It was amazing.
You throw in a phrase Dusty Rhodes might throw
in. I'm not even done now.
Yeah.
So, and then you add in the Brock stuff.
Yeah.
And you have a tricky thing, because Brock's best stuff since he's been back was his CM Punk match.
Yeah.
That's the thing Brock looked the best in. And you didn't use that footage, and you still made Brock look good. You made Brock look like a threat.
This is a match I'm excited to see. They didn't throw in Punk and Undertaker either.
Right, right.
Which is also an amazing.
Right.
Amazing
show. So, you got great going, and you end it with what I'm pretty sure is a sound clip from a Mardi Gras pinball machine. When you hit the jackpot. That's the only thing I can think of where that noise came from.
Either that or, like I said, Dusty Rhodes.
Like, it's...
Lord have mercy. It was just like that one hint. It's like, oh yeah, that's right. We're going to be in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm. It's too late to change it. Let's just stick this on.
Oh God, if we have to sit through like 2-3 weeks of that promo.
Of that
package. Just because we know that's coming up.
I know. That's going to mess up like my enjoyment of the rest of that promo, that package.
Especially like, again, last year the video package for Punk and Taker was perfection.
I don't think... I am not sure I've ever seen a better face versus heel build-up. And they... It's not to say they lucked out with Paul Bearer dying, but, like, they took the worst possible situation. Mm-hmm. And they spun gold out of straw,
right?
With what they had to work with,
with a bad situation, yeah.
You know, and they did that, and Punk turned heel. Like, it's, you can't do that. Punk could not turn heel.
Yeah,
they tried to turn Punk heel for 6 months, and Punk.
He would only reach certain levels of heel,
and just like the build up, the face versus heel build up. And, like, I specify that because I still think the quote-unquote face-versus-face build-up that the Street versus Career match might have been a better build-up.
Yeah.
But this was, like, where Punk was playing the clear heel that needed to be punished for his actions.
Yeah.
Undertaker as the defeated face that needed to have his comeuppance.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was played out beautifully to a T. All the way down to, like, the ring entrances were amazing for both of them.
Yes. Absolutely.
So I do not.
It's hard. Yeah, it's hard to top that.
Yeah, I don't know how you will. And mm-hmm. and I think that as much as I love Punk, I think that it is very possible for Brock and Taker to have a better match.
Okay.
I never believed Punk was going to win.
Okay, so in that aspect, Punk, I see what you're saying.
Punk needed to be punished, and we talked about it.
Right.
I never sucked in breath on the two count between Punk and Taker.
Right.
Technically, it was a great match. Emotionally, it was a great match.
Okay, so you're saying from that aspect
from the first bell, I knew he was going to win that.
Your own believability
mm-hmm.
of Punk realistically winning
mm-hmm.
was never shaken. Okay.
Right.
I see what you're saying now. Okay. All right. I will let your thing stand. Okay.
And I think that's the first time since the second or the first Shawn, because I thought that first one that Shawn might have won that one.
Could have been gone either way, yeah.
Like since the first Shawn Michaels match, I have thought it could go either way.
Mm-hmm.
Like there and not a lot. Like especially that second Triple H match. I'm like, no, he's not winning this match. This is mm-hmm.
There were some moments whenever he mm-hmm. hit Pedigree and Shawn hit the mm-hmm. Sweet Chin Music. I thought at that point, it's like, oh crap, they're really gonna end it like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like and that's the thing, like when that bell rang, I was like, I know how this is gonna end. This is just a time filler mm-hmm. match. I know but the technical degree in the match.
Mm-hmm.
This the moves that were used, the story that was told in the match, I was like I had it, and it was beautiful. Yeah. So, and I think it's very possible for Brock and Taker to have a couple of those moments. I'm like, they're going to end the streak right here, mm-hmm. and I need that half a second where that flashes across my mind,
right?
You know, in like a knee jerk reaction,
mm-hmm.
and that's all I need. And I'll be like, I'm sold.
Okay.
I think that's the bulk of Raw this week.
Yep.
Do you want to do what's making you happy?
Yeah, you go ahead and start.
Oh, me go ahead and start?
You go and start.
I've got to think about it now.
Okay. Well, what's making me happy? I got a job interview tomorrow.
That's exciting.
That's making me happy. A little nervous, but I'm good at interviews. I'm not that nervous. All
right.
What's
making me happy? My grandmother got an iPhone.
Oh, wow.
Which has just been a thrill because I got to teach my grandma how to use an iPhone.
Yeah.
So that was a lot of fun.
How long did it take you to explain what FaceTime was?
FaceTime was the easiest part. Are you kidding?
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
FaceTime, like, I don't know if you've used it, but FaceTime is, like, the easiest, most intuitive thing to learn on the iPhone. Okay. FaceTime and, like, Siri, especially because, like, my grandmother doesn't long to play, like, Stump the Siri, where I'm like, you know,
right.
Siri, let me do this complicated thing. Let me try and ask you this trick question.
Right.
Or use more double so negatives and make it trick you. Into,
right. But it's more so just using Siri exactly what she was meant
yeah,
to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Assist you.
Yeah, she wants to use Siri so she can say, you know, call blah de blah. She doesn't have to find it in her contacts.
Right.
And she says, text blah de blah this. And Siri, that's what Siri's designed for.
Right.
And so, yeah, so, no, Siri works out great for my grandmother.
All right.
So, but yeah, but it was a lot of fun there. As far as specific in wrestling things, I read a story about a person who could not watch Raw live,
mm-hmm.
And so they don't watch Raw live. I think they don't live in the United States,
mm-hmm.
So they try to avoid spoilers as right. a thing. But they accidentally got spoiled in, like, a quick flash of an announcement, like, on, like, a YouTube video or something, just right. their homepage YouTube video, mm-hmm. That said Funk is back because the Funkadactyls returned. But they misread it in their fat scroll to try and not watch, to not see it, and so they misread it as Punk is back.
Okay.
And so you can go on the internet and find it, and this poor person details the story of watching the entirety of Raw, thinking that Punk is going to come back at any second. And it is the Shakespearean tragedy of character.
Oh man, you're going to have to send me that. I want to read that.
Every moment that this poor guy thinks is a perfect moment, especially to go back and think about the last 15 minutes of Raw,
yeah.
which are just Daniel Bryan needing to get rescued.
Yeah.
And realizing that they are 10 minutes, and then 11 minutes, and then 15 minutes over time.
Yeah.
That the symbols come out, and they keep going, because clearly they are waiting for that punk music to hit.
Yeah.
And to just read this. And to know that it's not going to happen because I've seen Raw. And it's like, it's so hilarious and heartbreaking all at the same time. So,
nice.
That's wrestling related to what was really making me happy.
Yeah, there. Yeah, you're absolutely going to have to send me that. I really want to read that.
Definitely will. Yeah, will. Sure thing. Alright, what else do we got?
That's right, it's time for the mail sack!
Mail sack, mail sack, why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack, let's all go inside. Mail sack, mail sack, why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack, it's your mail
sack. So we have a bit in the mail sack. This comes from Blair, and he said it's an easy one. Does Daniel Bryan get out of Mania with the belt?
I think if I had to give Vegas odds, yes, it's more likely that Bryan will get out of Mania with the belt than not with the belt. I think it is a very good chance the belt is changing hands. I think Randy Orton is least likely to come out with the belt. The only reason Batista gets the belt is that they're really sticking with that. Like, they're giving Daniel Bryan his chance, but they need that belt on Batista for the summer months. That's the only real reason Batista's getting the belt. Batista needs to go away a couple of weeks. Honestly, try again.
Right.
Like, it's... whatever the June pay-per-view is this year, I think a great Daniel Bryan versus Batista match where Batista wins. Like, it won't go over great, but it's very spoonful of sugar, helps the medicine go down kind of thing that I can live with.
Okay.
Triple H won. Like, I almost hope that happens.
Triple H wins and he's in the main event.
Mm-hmm.
You imagine how many boos is going to be drowning that main event.
Like, can you,
he'll be able to swim in it.
Mm-hmm.
My answer to this question is, tune in for our pre-WrestleMania podcast to get my official prediction. Because I have not made up my mind yet. I don't know.
All right.
So yeah, that's right. I'm taking the easy way out. This is from Sideshow Bob. It seems most people generally accept that if Daniel Bryan had an opportunity in the Rumble, even if he didn't win, the backlash wouldn't have been so severe. So riddle me this. What if the current plan for WrestleMania 30 is just WWE covering their asses to say he had an opportunity, meaning, given the parallel to WrestleMania 10 right now, what if they Lex Luger Daniel Bryan and he doesn't even make it to the second match, loses to Triple H, or gets carted off and has no championship match that way? He said, the only way I see that being salvaged is if McMahon calls, the whole card subject to change thing and inserts Punk into the match as a suitable replacement. But if they don't go that route, if Bryan whiffs the Triple H match, how bad does the championship match get crapped on?
So basically, if Triple H wins.
Yeah. Like, the crowd is going to let them have it.
Yeah.
If they go that route.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that they want that reaction for their main event. Like, I think that they want the crowd to be able to cheer for somebody in that main event.
Yes.
They wished it was Batista, but that's not going to be the case. And I feel like this is all done as a way to kind of fix the energy in the main event.
Yes.
That's what I feel. So I feel like it's, even with the added stipulation, they're still going to stick with Daniel Bryan winning over Triple H.
There needs to be, even if Daniel Bryan doesn't win the match,
right,
there needs to be a face in the main event.
Yeah.
Someone to cheer, someone to...
Because this match is going to close out WrestleMania.
Exactly.
Right.
The only thing that I could see is Triple H basically breaks Daniel Bryan's leg and gets disqualified. So it's a, singles match that Bryan hobbles down to the ring mid-match.
Yeah.
And comes in for the victory kind of thing.
Right. Possibly, yeah.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I mean, you get that mid-match pop.
Yeah.
So.
And he adds on to this, because we were talking about, how Taker and Brock kind of need a storyline. Mm-hmm. And he says, for the backstory or, you know, the why for the match, either one could simply remind people of their previous feud, cut to video clips, including their Hell in a Cell match, and simply say they want to finish the job. That would be the easiest way to go about it. Mm-hmm. It makes sense. And then, obviously, there's the stare-down that the two had at a UFC event.
Yeah, I mean,
which would be the easiest, because it is the most recent.
Honestly, really, what I want is just, you know, I think that it's personal reason.
Yeah.
I think the people to spend enough time watching wrestling and dedicate their lives to wrestling, you know, like, have podcasts, bunch of nerds.
Right.
You know, I think they would, you know, just imagine stuff more exciting and thrilling and more wonderful than it could ever, you know, hope to achieve.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's all I need.
Yeah, no, yeah,
and honestly, like,
some sort of recognition of some sort of backstory.
Honestly, it's a little nitpicky to like really need it.
Right,
like,
yeah.
I don't need it a lot, because
it's Taker.
It's not like I'm going to be watching this whole match being like, well, I don't really feel the motivation behind these characters.
Right.
So, which I will do on other matches. Like, don't get me wrong.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying, like, the slideshow for this match is probably going to be a little short.
Brock's turn.
Yeah, Brock's turn.
Might just be that one slide.
Right.
Brock's turn.
He's like, yeah, you remember that streak thing we talk about in every single slideshow? Brock's turn.
Brock's turn.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I'll absolutely sell that.
All right.
Cool.
All right. Cool.
Sure.
All right. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire. We live tweet all Mondays, appropriate Sundays, and at various other times throughout the week. So you should really follow us, because that's the best way to live your life.
Yes. And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up here on the show, send those to our email. That's classandringattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes, so be sure and listen to us on iTunes. You can subscribe there. You download a new episode every single week. You can give us a rating of
5 stars.
You a cow in that one?
Sure.
Or you can write a review. Either way, helps out the show, makes you feel good on the inside.
Yes. And if you are listening to us on wrestling.insidepulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you, and we'll throw it into the mail sack.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.